Hashem, it's wonderful to see old friends and new friends. I have a tremendous hakaras hatov to have gotten the Rosh Yeshiva for allowing me to come to speak to the Chevra for a few minutes. It's a special surprise to see that the Kali Rebbe is here. So it means everybody who was by the Rebbe has special siyata d'shmaya. Bechlal, the yeshiva, the siyata d'shmaya, the growth of the yeshiva, the growth of each person, the nachas that I have personally, from so far away, I'm always hearing about the yeshiva and about the bachim, the yingalait, the simchis, Baruch Hashem. So the Rishus of the Rosh Yeshiva, I want to talk to you a little bit about the tekufa that we're in. This is not the most pleasant time of the year for Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's not the most pleasant subject to talk about. We like to talk about Simchas Torah, about Chanukah, about Tu Bishvat, Tu B'Av. But the Rosh doesn't want us to be Mis'alim. He doesn't want us to look away. He wants us to live through each time with the Avodah of that time. And we need to try to understand what's the Avodah of that time. Aside, of course, everything that we learn in Halacha, we learn in Shulchan Aruch, we learn in Poskim. Every year, this time of the year, I say from the Heilige Kodanach, he said that, you see that by the Kodanach, they saw once on Tisha B'Av that he was dancing. On Tisha B'Av. Now obviously that raised some eyebrows, even back then in that world. People were shocked by that. So the Kodanach, they asked him, and the Kodanach said, it's a mitzvah to be Mis'avil, it's a mitzvah to mourn on Tisha B'Av, and a Jew has to make the mitzvah B'Simcha. To mourn, to be mekayem the mitzvahs of this time, besimcha, pnimius. That's our avodah. And I just want to talk about the small nekuda in the context, in the bigger mezgeris of that avodah. There's a short Torah in Likutei Moran, Reish Mem Zayin. The short Torahs are harder than the longer Torahs. In the short Torah, a few sentences, a sentence, Rav Nachman says an astonishing thing. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard it. We're going to try to understand on our level a little bit of what Rav Nachman was saying. Isa b'Zohar Kaddish. Rav Nachman brings from Zohar Kaddish, Sheteiko anema b'shas u'b'chines mechusa tikkun. Everybody knows that in many places in Shas, that in many places in the Gemara, there are unresolved dilemmas, there are unresolved problems, sugyas and shas. And the Gemara ends with teiku. And when Achman says teiku, shenema hanema b'shas, he brings from the Zohar, hu b'chinas mechusa tikkun. Teiku is missing its tikkun. Teiku means being in a state, that unresolved dilemma means when a person needs a tikkun, he's in need of a tikkun, and he doesn't have a tikkun, that unresolved matziv in life is called teiku. Dahayinu shenechzer hanun shel tikkun v'nasa teiku. The end of nun, the end of nun is missing from tikkun, and the absence of the end of nun creates a situation that's called teiku. Vida. You know, it's a Kabbalah, whenever it says vida, that he's taking it from Atzilus, from a very high place this time. All of his tires came from a high place, but Vada is especially high. ודע שזויס הנון פשוטה. ומנחם says you should know. He said that this end of nun, this nun pshuta, kshenechseres mehatikun, when it's missing from the word tikun, when we have this matzav of teiku, chines teiku canal, azai hi nishpeles v'nechfefes, then the end of nun doesn't just go away. It doesn't disappear. It's not just that it's not here. It's nishpelas v'nechfefes. It's degraded. V'nechfefes. And it's bent over. It's nechfefes v'nishpelas. V'naase b'zeh b'chines kines. The kines that we say on Tisha B'Av. The kines is that matzav of teiku. And instead of having the tikkun that should be with the end of nun in its place, beautiful, straight, and tall, instead of the end of nun being the way that it should, the end of nun is nishpelas v'nechfefes, sibrochen, it's bent, and it's lowered, and that brings to the saying in Golas of kines, of kines. Kines is the same letters as the word tikkun. But the nun is no longer the end of nun, it's the bent nun. Hashem yigaleinu v'yishapcha ha-kines l'tikkun v'yistakin ha-teiku kanal. He ends and he says, the Baruch Shem should bring Geula, v'yishapcha ha-kines l'tikkun, and the kines of Tisha B'Av should be transformed into the tikkun of Mashiach Sekeinu, to the final tikkun, v'yistakin ha-teiku kanal. And when that happens, then the teiku that we were talking about, unresolved dilemmas, the unresolved sugyas, sugya of Golas, Golas Bechlal, of Knesset Yisrael, and Golas Befrat, of each person, then the teiku will finally be resolved. Ad kam l'shana HaKadosh. Let's understand, on our madrega, just a little bit to try to enter into this half of the Gittara. And how it's nagei to each and every one of us. Everybody knows that when it says teiku in Shas, the teiku means Tishbi Yitaris Kushis V'Yabayis. Tishbi Elyonovi is going to come, Bez Hashem, soon. Elyonovi is going to come. Tishbi Yitaris Kushis V'Yabayis. And Tishbi Elyonovi, Tishbi is going to come, and he's going to answer. He's going to resolve all of these kushis and ibayas, all of these questions and these dilemmas. So all of the kashis and all of the svekas of Torah, like we see many times, different times in Shas, the beginning of Messiah, we know there's such a thing where there are people, that there's a toin and there's a nitin, there's a certain problem between people. And in halacha, it doesn't have in halacha a clear resolution. So then the Gemara tells us, Yehemunach ad sheyavei Eliyahu. There's such a thing that Yehemunach ad sheyavei Eliyahu, whoever learned Chayshim Mishpat Sugis, knows that there's such a thing that Yehemunach ad sheyavei, we don't know where this Yehemunach, different places of the world, there are things that are waiting. Yehemunach ad sheyavei Eliyahu, until Eliyahu Navi comes. Yehemunach ad sheyavei Eliyahu. And we need to understand, why is it that the Hatorah of Sveikis, why is it that these doubtful, unresolved situations require the appearance of Eliyahu Navi? That all of these kashas and all these ibayas, the ehemunachs of life, actually of Eliyahu, are waiting for Eliyahu Navi. Why is that? some of you might know that when Rabbi Nachman himself, since we're learning a Torah from Rabbi Nachman, tried to understand the tie into his life, what we know from Rabbi Nosson, that remarkable time that Rabbi Nachman spent in Eretz Yisrael. So when he first came, he went to Tveria. And when he came to Tveria, which was a place, as you know, that there were Talmidei Baal Shem, the Talmidei Baal Shem settled primarily in Tveria at the beginning. And for many years, there's a Yishuv. Those who were in the Beis Island know the Beis Island there in Tveria, where there's a Chaluka, the section of the Talmidei Baal Shem, Sadiqei Elyon, Kedoshei Elyon are buried there. It was the place of a Mendel of Vitebske, Avram Kaliskin, and Tzadikim. So, at that time in Tveria, Rabbi Yankov Shimshon Shpitovke, Rabbi Yankov Shimshon was a Goyin Olam. Rabbi Yankov Shimshon from Shpitovke made a big Seuda, a Kabbalah's Ponim for Rabbi Nachman Breslov. And at this Seuda, there was Father Shech HaChamim, and Talmidei Baal Shem were there, and they were talking and learning. And the Tzaddik of Yaakov Shimshon asked a kasha, and the whole Olam was tumulting over Yaakov Shimshon's kasha. And what was the kasha? The kasha was that in this din of Yehemunach Ad Sheyovei Eliyahu, in this halacha, that there are times where we don't know, and the halacha says Yehemunach, you have to leave this item in limbo, suspended in limbo, Ad Sheyovei Eliyahu, until Eliyahu Navi comes. So regarding this din, the Tzaddik from Shpitovke asked, and what does it help? When Eliyahu Navi comes, Sof Kol Sof, in Dinim Ba'amanis, everybody knows, in Halacha, that Liyokim Eid Echad B'ish, that to testify, or to say, Eidus, that this belongs to Pliny, or this belongs to Almoni. One aid doesn't work. One witness, one person testifying, cannot change the halacha, the mitzvah of the halacha. So the Tzaddik from Shpitovke asked, so how is it possible? What difference does it make? That, you know, if he comes as great a person as he is, we're not talking about the sugya of Loi B'Shamayim, and how Eliyahu Navi Bechlal can operate in this world. There's a big tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. It's a big subject in Halacha. But as far as understanding that Eliyahu Navi, when he's in this world, like the Chassam Sofer explains in that tshuva, that Eliyahu Navi can function as a Chacham Ben HaChachamim. And it's not some sort of a supernatural type of a thing. We're not getting into that. But the question that the Shpitovke asked, so how could, what's the Nafkimin Eliyahu Navi says, Eidus, that he knows, however he knows, that this belongs to that person, or belongs to the other person, to Reuven, to Shimon. What's the Nafkimin? So all of the Chachamim of Tveria, the Ashkenazim, the Sfadim, were tumulting over this kasha that the Tzaddik asked. The only one who wasn't talking was Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman was sitting on the side, he was saying Tillim. And when it quieted down a little bit, so Rabbi Yaakov Shimshon said, no, other Rabbi, what do you have to say, Rabbi Nachman, about this? And Menachem said that he didn't understand the kasha at all, and it's not a kasha. And he said that the Mishnah says, "Ein Eliyo bo el larachek imakarovin mizraya lakar merchokin mizraya." Eliyahu Navi is coming to the world, lasa sholom ba olam, to make peace in the world. Larachek hasheker lakar haemes. Sheker is going to be driven out of the world, driven away from our lives. And the emes, the truth, is going to be brought into our lives. Therefore, at that time, when there will be Emes and Sholem, there'll be Sholem and Emes. Mimela, the person who was not being honest about what happened, B'shas Maise, between Reuven and Shimon, that person will come and will be Moida al Ha'emes, he'll come and he'll admit the truth. It will no longer be a Shakel V'Taya, a Din Udvarim, a Toyin V'Nitan. He'll come and he'll be Moida al Ha'emes to make Sholem, and he'll say, Taka, I took that, or I took the money, I'm sorry. And they'll give each other a hug, and they'll make Shalom. And the way that the dilemma will be resolved is, then we have a Hidas Baldin, the person himself is acknowledging and admitting. And everybody knows that Hidas Baldin is Kamei Eidim, that it works as Eidus. However it works, from what din does it work, it's not for now, but it works. And therefore, that's the meaning of Nachman said, of Yehemunach ad sheyovei Eliyahu. Because when Eliyahu Novi comes as Yisgala HaSholom VeHaEmes Ba'olam, when Eliyahu Novi will come, then the truth, Mimela, the peace, will be revealed. So each person is going to be Moida and say, I'm sorry, this is what happened. And that's the meaning of Yehemunach ad sheyovei Eliyahu. And all the tzaddikim were in the spoil. I'm sure you could ask Kashas, you think about this, talk about this afterwards. But all the tzaddikim were in the spoil from Rabbi Nachman said. In our avodah, let's try to understand. Eliyahu Hanavi. All of Olam Hazeh is one big teiku. One of the hardest things for people who started learning Gemara, some of you might have started learning Gemara a little bit later in life, not at the beginning. So one of the hardest things, is when you're going through a sugya, sometimes it stretches over an omid, a blot, could even be a few blot. And when you're in the middle of the sugya, before you understand the sugya, it's very, very hard. And people are new, are always asking, why can't we just get to the tachlis? The Mashgiach, Zechitzag Levracha from Lakewood, Ravach Vogel, spoke about at this time of the year, at the time of Tisha B'Av, he spoke about the inyan of the sugya of life, the difficulties, until a person understands what his life is about. That means that all of Olam Hazeh is a big take. That's the least satisfying thing of all. When you finally made your way through the few blot of the Gemara, and the whole time you're anticipating that you'll finally get to the bottom of it. And then when you get to the end, all of a sudden, you see the word teiku, and then there are two big black dots. And, or like if you use one of the helping things, then the different colors, something changes, or whatever it is. So that's a very, very hard thing to accept. After working so hard on the sugya, and then it doesn't have a clear answer. And there's nobody else in the world that learns this way, or thinks this way, only us. The emes is that all of the sveikas, all of the doubts, and all of the bilbulim, all of the confusion that's in the world. And we know that the ikasiba of the churban, by sheini, mimele means what's ad hayoyim, shadayim, mirakit beineinu, is sinas chinam, which is a very easy thing to talk about and to say interesting shmuzin about, but lemaisa, the lemaisa of eradicating that is the hardest thing in the world. All of the sveikas, all of the bilbulim that lead to sinas chinam, come as a result of unresolved relationships. What does that mean? I'm saying very simple. What does it mean, a teiku in a relationship? You have two wonderful people. You have two wonderful yidin. Each one is mamish an oilam katan. Each one is a world to himself. And something came between them. And as a result of this which came between them, somehow, either quickly or over the course of time, it began maybe first as something subtle, but over time it grew into a sin, into a hatred. The two people, two yidden, each one of the two yidden can't be in the same place, can't stand each other. There are times that I saw things like this, and it was so strange how I saw resolved. I mentioned once, I told him, maybe I said here, I don't remember where I said it, but I remember there was once in a place that I was in the country, in the mountains, there was a simcha there, and there was a very strange thing. They were benching Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, and the fellow that was davening for the Omid, the Bal Musaf was davening, so he said, Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, yeah, b'yom ha'sheni, b'yom ha'shlishi, b'yom ha'revi. He said 3 days, he said. And then they corrected him, and he was mixed up. Something happened over there with the gabbai. B'yom ha'sheni, he said b'yom ha'sheni, b'yom ha'sheni, b'yom ha'shlishi, b'yom ha'shlishi. He said like a whole bunch of days. It came out Rosh Chodesh, was almost a whole week over there. And then right after he finished davening, there was a yid who was a guest at the place for the Shabbos. There was a simcha, and he came over and he went over and they were talking. They started crying and they were holding each other. Mitbarer, what was that? What happened over there? So everybody was tumulting after davening, maybe even sometime a little bit during davening. What happened? So these two fellows, listen to this. These two fellows grew up together. They went to yeshiva together. Their families, they were best friends for 30 years. Something happened in business or something, and there was a machlokes, and they became very far, and they worse than far apart, and their lives went in different directions. They stopped davening the same Beis Medrash and everything. And the last thing that they said to each other, they were arguing. Let's say Reuven and Shimon, they were arguing, and Reuven said to Shimon, "You're going to see that the time will come that you're going to come begging for mechila for what you did to me." And Shimon said, "I'll come to you to ask for mechila. You know when? When there are 3 days Rosh Chodesh, I'm going to come." And he happened to be, he was at that simcha. He didn't go near his friend. He was on the other side of the, he wouldn't go near him. And the fellow says, and this happened many years before. 3 days Rosh Chodesh, and he went to Ofen. He made shalom. There's a ma'aser we had in this shul. There's a couple that have in the shul a child that's not well. That's not well. Hashem Yirachem. He's mentally handicapped in a very, very severe way. And he has an inyan. Some of you might have heard this thing also. He has an inyan that when two yidnas, and he'll never do with a man and a woman, with the two men standing together, standing near each other, he pushes you that you should shake hands. And when you shake hands, he's smart, he's happy. That's what he does. This is this boy does all the time. When they're even standing next to each other, he goes and he goes, and then when you hold him, and this, everyone knows in the shul, and then you shake hands, and he goes, he's happy. So it's a mitzvah to do. It's a big mitzvah to make. So his father told me that he was once there was a they took him to a simcha bar mitzvah something in Chasna, and there was a yid standing there, and he took this yid, this boy took this yid, and he grabbed him. And he pulled him through 500, 600 people to the other side of the hall. And he went over to somebody, he went, and they looked at each other, and it was funny. And then they started crying, and they told the father they hadn't spoken to each other in 25 years. They had a fight. The yelet katan, and the child came. Ada leyada, and he made such a thing. Because what does it mean? Could be in this very room. I hope not. But the people that have sometimes a kasha, one on another person has a kasha. He has a question, and it hasn't been resolved. He's in a state of teiku with another Jew. They had a long sugya together. You can imagine when this happens with shalom bayis between a husband and wife. You don't have to imagine the people that know them would see such a thing. The two people that they wanted a chuppah, and they build a life together, and there's Hashem with the family together. How many times I've had with a husband and wife have a disagreement over something that happened, and when you hear there's something that happened, you know that it couldn't be that that's it. It's such a kleinigkeit. I had a couple that almost got divorced. This wasn't from the shul from before. Another place, they almost got divorced because of a flavor of ice cream. I'm telling you a true story. That he went to buy ice cream once on a Masai Shabbos, and he brought back a flavor that she doesn't like, and she says, you know me for 20 years, how could you not bring the right flavor? And that led to other things, and they almost got from chocolate to vanilla. They almost had already a Beis Din. They were looking ready for a Beis Din. So it can't be it, that's not normal, right? What kind of a person would divorce a wife because of ice cream? It's not possible. LMI, when you sit down and you talk to them, then what happens? Then she says, you remember you said what you said about my father? You remember what you said? What did I say about your father? She says something that was at the end of Shavuot Brachos, you know? I'm always giving over a long time ago. And he says, I said that? She says, you said that about my father. And it came out in the vanilla chocolate, came out. And then he says, I remember what we were discussing, but that's not what I meant. And they start talking, and then I didn't do anything. I just thought, okay, now I'm finished. I leave the place, and they have to work their union out. What was the machloikis? I mean, she was living in a certain matziv, and in Mela he was, where there was a takel. There was a standoff. There was something in their relationship that went. And because people don't always talk things out, and people don't always get to the maskana of the sugi that they're in, so because of that teiku, each one had kashas on the other person. How could he? How could she? How come these two people, once there was a third, there was chayshah, then they hugged and they made up. Each one is chalishing to be friends with the other one. They miss each other. They love each other. They grew up together. They went through so many things together. And because of some inyan that came between them, each one has a kasha on the other person. How could he do that to me, my friend? How could he do that to me? How could he think that about me? How could he say that about me? And because the kasha is left as a kasha, so the unresolved teiku leads to kinis. That's why we're still saying kinis, right? We're still saying kinis because of these teikus of life, the sinus chinim, and the kashas, and the bilbulim, sveikas that people have one with the other. Eliyahu Navi, what we're learning now, I don't know what the time I start with. I'm not going to finish my one. A little bit longer than that. That because of this, Eliyahu Navi, when he comes, is going to bring into the world, if anybody has to go, of course he should go. Eliyahu Navi is going to bring Shalom and Emes into the world. And Shalom and Emes means that the kashis and the sveikis that one has, and Eliyahu Navi is going to be like that boy, Yelet Katayin. He's going to be that like that child, except it's Eliyahu Navi. He's going to take one Jew's hand from this part of Golos, and he's going to bring over to another Yid in Golos. It could be a husband and wife that are sitting across a table, and he's going to explain and to talk about the Emes. He's going to be Megala the Emes. And in Mela, nobody will have any more Kasha, Reuven and Shimon, husband and wife, and he'll understand that I didn't really understand where my friend was coming from. You see, sometimes a person that's upset, that's angry, a husband comes home, he doesn't understand, how come the wife didn't give him a big kabbalah upon him, how come she's not besave upon him yafis, and if he's already a chalchem and more of a sensitive person, he might say, is there something wrong, is there something that happened during the day, if he's more self-centered, If he's more wrapped up in himself, he'll just be angry and upset that I worked so hard, or I was busy all day long, and I had a hard day, and how come when I came home I didn't get a good Kabbalah spanim? And the Eliyahu will come, and Tishbi Yitaris Kushis Firbayis. There'll be Emes, Mimelo, there'll be Sholem. Each one will understand. But it's deeper than this, Rabbi said, and you have to hurry. It's deeper than this. There are kashas that a person has, not only on a friend, not only a husband or wife, parents with children. Children walk around with unbelievable kashas on parents. Besides those kashas, the questions that a person has about himself. Lo ma nikach. Why was I born into such a family? Why was I born with such midas that I have? The guy next to me in shul, he's so soft-spoken, he's so sweet, he's so even-tempered and generous and kind by nature. And by me, to say a good word, to be mevater on anything, is a milchama mamish, is a war. Why did the Baruch Shalom make me into such a person? It's a kasha on the Baruch Shalom, a person is. Doesn't call it that. Ein shalom ba'atzomai, David Mel says in Nechatos. Ein shalom ba'atzomai, in myself, in my bones, in my own self. Ein shalom, I don't have shalom in myself. Why did I have to go through certain things? I had a person who was telling me recently that until he got a shidduch, he married, he was over 40 years old. He couldn't get a shidduch. He married, he was over 40 years old. And he finally, the Baruch Shalom made a zivik, and he was able to get married. And the wife was killed by a car 3 weeks after the chasana. They were waiting for each other 25 years, 22, 23 years, until a zivik. And then there was an accident. Akasha. A person has. Why did I have to have such a thing? Why did it happen to me? My goyrel, my chelik in this world that I have. And all of the kinnis in a person's life. The kinnis on the Churban Beis HaMikdash nowadays is very hard. Very few people, only big oivdim, understand what that means. The emes is that the kinnis and Beis HaMikdash all go back to this, to the kinnis that we're talking about. It all begins from this. All of the kinnis that a person's mekainen over his life. It's hard for us to imagine this. But Elianovi is going to come, and the tekus that a person has with himself. Why was I born to such people? Why do I have a shvach, a cup, if a person is sitting in yeshiva? For the next guy, he figures out the taisus in 15 minutes. He's on the next taisus. And you're sitting there trying to work it out, and you got all different dictionaries and books and things, and asking people, this guy mentioned it's not going. Why do I have such a hard head? What's the matter with me? How can the Baruch Hashem made me in such a way that I have such a... I can't work out an inyan? When Elianovi comes, Tish B'Yitaret Kushis V'Abayis, why did I have to be born this way, at this time, with these people? Why did I have to go through the things that I've gone through? At that moment, when the Emes will be revealed, because Elianovi, as it says in the Mishnah, is coming. Elianovi is coming into the world. La'asais Sholom Ba'olam. And lekarev es emes, lerachik es shekel. So at that time, then for each person will be clear that tzadik Hashem b'chol drachov, b'chasid b'chol ma'asav. That every single thing, oh, now I understand the Baruch Shalom. Every single thing will be tzadik Hashem b'chol drachov, b'chasid b'chol ma'asav that the Baruch Shalom did with me. And then what will happen? Then the person will be moida al ha'emes. He'll admit, he'll be moida al ha'emes, that the Baruch Shalom is tzadik v'yosher. And he'll understand that every single thing had to be exactly with my heart and my head and my parents and my home and my all the shtauschlism of my life. and I'll understand exactly what this husband, this wife, this chava, this, I'll understand exactly. And then from that place of teiku, the person will come to a tikkun, and then the kinis will be finished. The question is, since there's a klal, we daven for it Friday night, many people say by the table, that even while I'm in galus, Rabbi Yishlom, even while I'm in galus, can you give me a little bit of a, can you give me a little bit of an advance on the geula? A little bit of an advance. There is such a thing that we could daven for that. If not for that, it would be very hard for us to exist. If not for a little bit of an or chayzer that's coming from Mashiach Zeit into our lives. The whole Yom Tov of Tu B'Av is such a light. We don't see yet what Tu B'Av is. When we look at the sugi in the Gemara, so the Gemara in Tanis gives many reasons why there's Tu B'Av. And whenever you have to give a lot of reasons for something, it means it's not it. If you have to give a lot of explanations for something, it means it's not good. They're all true. Of course it's all true. But that's not it. It's not it. The it will only be understood when Mashiach comes, when the moon will be whole again. And we'll understand what Tu B'Av is. The Hayim Tayim Yisrael. And after you finish the list in the Gemara of what happened to B'Av, you still don't understand. That's why it's Lehayim Tayim Yisrael. Yom Kippur, so you don't bother with that, because you know Yom Kippur, we all understand Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, but Tu B'Av, Lehayim Tayim Yisrael, such a lush. So it comes, as it says in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, he talks about this, the Horan Stipler, Pelayites, other tzaddikim talk about this. That it comes back. So we get an advance. Even in Golos, that a person can have an advance from what's going to be when Mashiach comes, and Elinavi comes. So how can we taste of this now? What does it mean? What's our avoida? What can we do? Obviously, emunah and everything, but what befrat to work on? So we never explain the business with the nun. The nun pshuta and the nun kfufa. We know that Rabbi Nachman was saying that the matzev in galus is that we have the nun. We do have the nun of the tikkun. The problem is, we have the nun, but the problem is that the nun is not an ender nun. It's not straight. It's not that nun. It's the nun kfufa. It's nishpeles v'nechvefes. We have the nun. We have all that we need. Everything is set for Gula, for Elyonavi Mashiach. We have the end of nun. We have the nun. But the nun that's supposed to be tikkun is nishpeles v'nechvefes. It's bent. And we have the small nun. And the Leonavi comes, the tikkun will be that will have the end of nun. So what is this business with the nun? Anybody mind me a few minutes? I'm sorry. Again, anybody has to go. I don't want anybody to feel that they have to stay. What's the inyan of the nun? So in the ksavim of the Ramak, In Pardes Rimoinim in the Shara Isis, there the Ramak says a half a big thing. But there's not enough time to really talk about it, Ba'omik. So I'm going to say something that deserves much, much more. And A, I don't understand enough to say about it. And B, there's not enough time. But there the Ramak says the following. The Ramak says that the Nun Pshuta, I would try to understand the Almadrega, that the Nun Pshuta, the end of Nun, the straight, smooth Nun, the Nun Pshuta is Miramis to the Koyach that's called Bina, understanding. That's the Nun Pshuta, Bina. The Nun, of course, equals 50. 50 is a significant number. It means what? Chamishim Shari Bina. Means the 50 Shari Bina. So the Nun Pshuta means Bina. And the Nun Kfufa The small nun, the bent nun, can you guess what that is? That's Malchus. The nun kfufa is Malchus. And the Ramak writes, Ikar shleimus of a person and of the world, Ikar shleimus, kashetiyena shteyen muchuboris beside mili ois nun. Geula is for the person and for Klal Yisrael, for the world. The milui of the ois nun, when it's written out full, nun, vav, the nun kufa, vav, and then the nun pshuta. That, the Ramak says, is ikar shleimus of the person and of the world, is when the letter nun is going to be in a state of milui. Nun, vav, and the nun. According to our hasagas, what does that mean? Again, I have to makate very much, and I'm already getting over time, so I'm sorry. According to our understanding, what that means is, bina, the nun, the end of nun, the nun pshuta. Bina means, on our madrega, it means his bainanus. It means moichin, the godless. Bina, as everybody knows, means when a person is thinking in a way, la'oyruch, la'roichav. An idea, a reality that the person looks into is misboinein, la'oyruch, length and width, in the oymik, in the depth, to understand something. Lahavin dover mitach dover, to understand, and each piece of understanding leads to a deeper understanding. Every single prat of elokus, to see elokus in every single thing in his life, and to see how all of the pieces emerge from the whole. That's called bina. Just like the nun pshuta that has, that descends la'oymek. The nun kufa, the Ramak is teaching us, the bent nun means malchus, because malchus, again on a very simple level, means what? Kabbalos o malchus shemayim, kishur la'oil, kachamba la'masa, like a person is bent over. When a person accepts upon himself something, even though he doesn't know what it is, but he accepts upon himself. When a person is moidel emes, when a person is misbatel before somebody and something that's greater than him, that's the nun kfufa of malchus. That a person's koyfeif himself to mekabel something b'emunah pshuta, even though he hasn't gotten to that place of understanding it, la'oymek, la'oyrech, la'roych, if he doesn't understand it. And the Sram tells us that when a Yid lives in that way of emunah pshuta, of bittul, of the nun kfuf, of kabbalas al malchus shemayim, in the way of David Malki Mashiach, then soymech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim, v'zoykev l'chol ha'kfufim, the straightening out of the nun, or l'nyanenu, the combination of the nun, the journey together, the fusion of the nun kfuf and the nun pshuta, which is soymech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim, the nun that was, it's not in the Ashrei, as the Gemara tells us, but it's put into soymech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim, v'zoykev l'chol ha'kfufim. The Yid who is koyfeif himself, who bent over with emunah pshuta before another Jew and believed in the chelek l'kom imal, in my wife, in my friend, in my father, in my mother, in the bari olam. A Yid who lives in that way of the nun kfufa, as painful as it is and as difficult as it is, that person is promised by the bari olam. Soymach Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim, that he'll come to understand. He'll come to the madrega of the milui, which is the connection between malchus and bina, working your way up from malchus, which is bittul, which is kabbalas ol, and that he'll be granted the understanding in this world, even before Mashiach comes. He'll have a level of Madrega of Gilui Elio in this world. Ritishbi Yatarit Kushis Rabayas, with a nun of Kinas that was only a lonely nun Kvufa, is joined together with nun Pshuta. And the Kinas are changed into the Tikkun, and the Teiku is given the final resolution, the dilemma is resolved. How we pile this is the last part of the talk, I'm sorry. How we pile this. So the says in the Tikkunim that the Iker Chibur, the main way to join together these two Madregas, these two Avoiders of Malchus with Bina, the main way to bring that about is with the Diburim of Tefillah. Tefillah, davening. The Diburim of Tefillah is the way to bring this about. And where does the Tikkunim see this? Where does it come from? Says in Shir Shir, Mi Zayis Oilam in Hamidbar. Mi and Zayis are Oilam in Hamidbar. Mi, which is what? What's Mi? No? Mem Yud is Bina. Mi, that's the very beginning of the Zayir. Mi is Bina. Mem Yud, 50. Zayis is Malchus. B'zois Yovai Aaron L'Kodesh. B'zois Ani B'Teach. Zois means thus is thus. Even though I don't know what it is, this is what it is. That's Malchus. B'zois Ani B'Teach. Emunah Pshuta. So the Tikkunim says, Mi Zois, this Yichud, this Chibur between the two Madregas of Mi, which is Bina, and Zois, which is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim, how can one be Zoicher for this Chibur, this Yichud, of the two Bechinas of Mi and Zois, of Bina and Malchus? How can one become worthy of such a thing? So the Zoya says, Mi Zois is Olam in Hamidbar. Olam in Hamidbar means, through the Koyach HaDibur in Hamidbar, is the Koyach to be a Medaber. Was the Baal Tanya's Marich in Likutei Torah on the Inyan, the Koyach HaDibur that came as a result of being in the Midbar after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Iker Tefillah of Klal Yisrael began. There were Tefillahs, but the Iker Tefillah, the Avoid of Tefillah began as a result of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, because then we found ourselves in the Midbar, in a desolate, empty place. And when a Jew realizes that, he begins to cry out to the Bar Yoyla. So Mi Zois, these two Bechinas of Mi, which is Bina, and Zois, which is Malchus, is Oilam and Hamidbar. It comes out, it comes together with the Kor HaDibur. And Dibur means Tefillah. But Diburim to the Baruch Shalom. That means through Dibur Tefillah, a person, as I was saying, a person is able to be Malah, to lift up the Malchus, all of those years of Emunah Pshuta, without trying to be Mekabel all, trying to accept, trying to be Mevater and so on, that whole Avodah, that a person should be Zoichet, the taste of the truth of Elyonov Yatishvi Oziet, that Elyonov is going to come, and what? To be Metar, to Kushis Nabayas of life, to be able to understand. This is the Tzadikim on such a Madrega. But each and every person can, on his level, come to taste a little bit of this. That through the Diburim of Tefillah, when a Yid speaks to the Baruch Hu from what's in his mind, what's in his heart, of course, that he works on Tefillah, the Tefillahs that we have in the Siddur, but in addition to that, to being a person who pours his heart out to the Bari Olam, in any way that he's able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be a Medaber, through that Avodah of the Nun Kfuf, of Malchus, of Bittl, with the Diburim of Tefillah and Bakosh and crying out and asking, Mi Zois is Olam and Hamidbar. Then the Mi and the Zois can be Olam and Hamidbar, and that could bring the Nun Kfufa, to join together with the Nun Pshuta, and then we have, instead of Teiku, instead of Kinis, then there's a Tikkun. In that person's life, there's a feeling of Tikkun. In that person's life, not the complete Tikkun, but a feeling of Tikkun in that person's life. There's no get to the whole meaning of other Tikkunim, Tikkun HaPgam HaBris, the fact we're not going into it now. But all the Tikkunim in a person's life. Without that, without the Mi Zois Oilum and HaMidbar, Mi and Zois can only come together Min HaMidbar. The Kach HaDibur with Dibur Tefillah. Dibur Tefillah, Dibur Torah. Now we understand, let's finish, now we understand. That Kolzman, that the person does not engage in this avoda of speaking to the Baruch Shalom, of pouring his heart out to the Baruch Shalom, of working on tefillah together with Torah, but diburim, a shef of diburim to the Baruch Shalom. Kolzman, the person doesn't do that. Then, even though he could have all the most wonderful brachas in the world, you know, you could have the biggest house in the world, and you could have the most beautiful children and the most beautiful cars and the most beautiful things, metal in the world, everything that you want. But you can't enjoy them because you have so many takers in your life. Sometimes it seems that the more hatzlocha that a person, not always, but the more, we all think that we're going to overcome this, but the more hatzlocha the person has in this world, you would assume that the person would have more simcha. Sometimes it seems that the biggest kashas, the biggest takers are dark in the lives of these people. I don't know, I was never in that way, and I don't know what it's like. But I talk to people like that, and many times it seems to me that the least happiness is to be found in the most keenness are being said in those quarters. It's a strange thing. You think a person, if I would have that, then I certainly would be happy. But the emphasis is that without diburim, without mizois, you could be the smartest person. Without kfifas, without the non-kfufa malchus, emunah tshuta, and without the connection, the halah of bina to malchus to bina, with the diburim of tefillah, the person's life can be filled with kashis, with keenness, with tainus against his parents, tainus against their brothers, and tainus against himself. But if a person would learn, even when it comes b'alam l'chaver, and here you have to be very careful, and there's no time to be married. Even when it comes to Ramah Chaver, people would be honest with each other. If these two friends that were separated for 20, 30 years, until 3 days of Shchaydish, if they would have spoken to each other. Again, I'm not getting into the sugi of Leisisna and how that works, and Machlekes Rishonim, but if they would have spoken to each other, Emes Dibur, real words, good words, instead of letting things cook and simmer and then boil over. Even in such a world, even in that world of Alam HaVeira, there's an avoid of Mizois, kaidem to believe in that person, to try, with a munut shuta to believe, is that person a good person? Is that person a good person? I admitted many times, Barabim, that I had a student that in school, this person, I was giving this. I was learning with that chaver for a long time. This was a 12th grade, and this person mamish the whole time couldn't look at me and never was interested in nothing. And besides that, you feel because of the ego, you start to feel personally hurt. I came down from Har Sinai to this person, you know, and the person, and I'm saying such gewaldige things, and here I have a yid is not listening to me. How can you not hear this? So besides that, your ego is hurt. Besides that your ego is hurt, you feel bad that the person's so closed. And it was only at the end of the year. So this person said, Rabbi, can I talk to you? And I was shocked. Because I tried different times. When I wanted to talk, I couldn't even get like a person to look at me. Finally, it was just two or three weeks before the end of the year, he asked if we could talk. I said, cover God, I've been waiting for that. Sure. So we thought. He didn't say anything. He came into my room and he lifted up his shirt and the back of his body was covered with the most horrible welts. And he said to me, I can't say the whole thing, But he said to me that his father has been beating him and doing other things to him which we can't talk about for the last 12 years. And if you want to know, Rebbe, why I seem not to care, because I know it looks like that the whole year. I didn't care. I was looking at things, reading things. I didn't come. I left early. I didn't care. It's because I feel so disgusting and dirty in myself over what I've been through in my life. I can't hear these kind of things. It makes me crazy. I can't listen to these things. So I remember I was crying and I went home and I told my wife, can you imagine, I'm walking around 10 months with kashas on this kid. What's the matter with this kid? Well, he doesn't care. He can't listen to a fire, a tire, can't smile, can't make eye contact, can't talk to you. Like, such a closed person. What's wrong with this kid? Tishbi Yataras Kushis Rebayis. The child is closed. Now the child tells me, Rebbe, if I open myself up for a second, if I open myself up, I'll die. And if you're talking to us the whole year about Kedush and Tahar, about this and that, if I listen to this, I'll die. Because he blamed himself for all of the errors that his father did. He blames himself, which happens many times with children. He blames himself for his father's errors. Person's life is filled with keenness. And even when a person talks, one person with another person, that begins to talk about what's on my heart, what's on my mind, if they're able to. The question that a person has with himself, forget that we don't understand another person. That we see, I'm just giving this story that I'm admitting the terrible mistake that I made with this person. That I thought that it was something, you know, wrong, and that he was just a kid that whatever, was superficial or shallow. And I was the one the whole time that was shallow. I was the one that was superficial, not him. I didn't believe that there was something else in the sugi of that child. We do that with our own children all the time. We think that we know that. There's this wonderful book that came out from that they put out just a few weeks ago in Reb Shlomo Feifeld. Some of you might have seen it. I don't know if it came here yet, if it started here, if it got here, I don't know. But the Reb Shlomo Feifeld, I was eicher to talk to many times. I wasn't in the yeshiva, I met him many times. Wonderful, wonderful stories. And all of the stories come out, all the stories revolve around one nekudah, which was his belief in other people, his belief in other yidden, that there's something else in this person. All of the stories, I don't have time to tell you. You look at the book, you'll see all of the stories. They come out, all the stories on that Nakud. And therefore, Mashiach is the Oisius. It says in Svar, Mashiach is the words, Mashiach Ilmim. Mashiach means to speak. You know that in Mitzrayim, there was a Golas Adibur, there was a Golas Adas. There was a disconnect between Bina, between understanding, between thinking and speaking in Mitzrayim. And therefore you know that Mitzrayim is the words Meitzar Yam. There was a Meitzar, there was a small place, and the Yam, therefore, the ocean, the Mi, the Oisius Yud Mem, were held in that place of Katnus. Until when, Vanitzak el Hashem Elokeya Aviseinu, until we began to cry out and to speak and to talk and to talk, until we did that, Mizois Oilam and Hamidbar. And that's how it was Mizois Oilam and Hamidbar, and that's why Mashiach Chazal tell us, Lefnei Shemesh Yinoin Shemai, Yinun Shemai, that one of the names of Mashiach Tzakeinu was Yinun. Yud Nun Vav Nun. That has the Nun Kfufa, and it joins it together with the Nun Pshut Yinoin. Therefore, now Rabbi said, at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, it's Ben Hametzarim. These days of Ben Hametzarim, those two words have in it, Ben Hametzarim have in the word, have Bina Mitzrayim. Ben Hametzarim, and this time Ben Hametzarim. The Ikra Avaida, we see this, there are many Avaidas, but the Ikra Avaidas in Tefillah, because the Beis HaMikdash is called Beisi Beis Tefillah, Yikari Yochal HaAmim. The Beis HaMikdash is the Beis HaTefillah. What is the Beis HaMikdash Sof Kol Sof? It's not a big Shlachtos. The Beis HaMikdash is a place for Yidden to pour their hearts out to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, Shivchi Kamayim Liber, Neichach Pnei Hashem, as the Navi says, saying Tishavov, Shivcha Kamayim Libach Neichach Pnei Hashem, Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah. And therefore, the Ike Zilz that we see in the world, as Kumzulas Chazal say, is Dava Armid Rubish Lalim is Tefillah, and the Olam is Mazazalim by. And Kisnu Aleya, Vayar Hashem, Kisnu Aleya. Rachel Imeinu was the world of Tarish Shabal Peh. Rachel Imeinu Tarish Shabal, I was just talking to somebody who's learning in the Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. It's a very famous yeshiva and a very high level of learning. He's learning, so I asked him, how's it going? He's learning a very, very hard mesecht, and he says, the guys are unbelievable learning. And I asked him, what about the Yer Shemayim, the guys coming to daven? He said, no, not so good. Yer Shemayim, not so good. What if the guys are doing at night, where they're going, Ben Azman, not so good. But the Torah is gewaldig. You know, the Torah is gewaldig is a big avoid, but that's Rachel Imeinu. And Rachel Imeinu was very openly and obviously beautiful. It's very hard not to fall in love with the Torah, you know that? You fall in love with the Torah. The Torah Shabal Peh, the Torah is the most beautiful thing in the world. That's Rachel Imeinu. Vayar Hashem ki snu Leia, because the Swam teaches that Leia is Tefillah. Leia is davening. Vayar Hashem ki snu Leia. You go to a place where the people are learning all day. And when it comes to davening, not here, Baruch Hashem, here the Tefillahs are Baruch Hashem and Avodah. But you go to a place where people are learning all day, and when it comes to a mincha, to davening, to saying a Baruch Hashem. And because of this, when we were still in Mitzrayim, you know, many of you know that the Zohar says, when it says Vayimoru, that the bitterness of the life is Bavayda Kosha, what did the Zohar say? Bavayda Kosha, the Kushya. We had Kashis. The Kashis and the Bilbulim. Vayimoru is Chayim, all the bitterness of life comes from that. Of not speaking out, of not davening, of not talking one to the other, of not making sholem. Therefore, Pinchas is Eliyahu, and Pinchas was Miyetze Mitzrayim, and therefore we just learned last week, Lachen Emma, Hinini Noisli is B.C. Sholem. Pinchas, according to that view, that Pinchas is Eliyahu, Pinchas is Miyetze Mitzrayim. Pinchas, why did Pinchas have to be Miyetze Mitzrayim? Kimizah is Olam and Amidbar. Pinchas is Elionovi. Elionovi, Chazal tells us in the Swarm, teach us that Elionovi is standing not only by the entrance to the Churva, like we see in the first parak of Brochus, that Elionovi is standing by the opening of a person's mouth. And that all of that tefillahs come with Elionovi. Our ability to convey our feelings to Borei Olam come with Elionovi. Opening of the Churva, of a Churva, of a place. Come with Asim, of Asim, of Oymez, Elionovi. Pinchas is Elio. Mizah is Olam and Hamidbar. And until that time, Rabbi is saying, if we don't work on this, then Eicha Yashua Badad Ha'ir Rabbos Yom Ha'isa Ka'almana. So the Rebbe Maharash from Lubavitch, Chusik Elena, said that Almana is Miloshin Elam. Almana, a widow, is a Loshin of Elam, which means a person that doesn't speak, that can't speak. An Almana. Kirachel, Kirachel, if Negoiz, Azeha Ne'elomo. A person who can't speak, like the sheep that's standing in the bathroom, it can't speak. So ke almana, the Marash says, is the oisius of an elam. Why? Because an almana is so brokenhearted, she can't say anything, she can't speak. And therefore the Rebbe Marash says, that the matzav of tikkun and gula is, ki mitzion teitzei soyer udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, when the Ne'eloma, the one who doesn't speak to the Rabbanu Shlalom, when the one who doesn't find the Tikkun, Tekinus, who doesn't find the end of Nun, to join together Mizoyis, Oilam, and Amidbar with the Diburim of Tefillah, therefore is in a matzah of Ki'almana, but the Marash says it's only Ki'almana, not Chalil and Almana Mamish, it's Ki'almana, which means an Ilim who doesn't speak. When that time will come, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, there'll be a complete tikkun. And the cherpa of these days of the almonis, of being an almon, will be taken away. And then will be the emes. The kinas will be changed into the tikkun. And all the kashas that we have on the people that we love, and the kashas that we have on ourselves, and the kashas that we have on the Bernishon will be answered. When the end of Tayyar first, the Imam Hashem in the night. And again, I ask Mechila. Next time I'll come, I'll try to be more with this man. Musician. I have some that were in the shul know the story. That there was a yid He's not alive anymore. There's a chazan in one of the local shuls in our area. A chazan. He told me this maisa. This maisa happened with him. And he said that he's a what they call, again, it's terrible to use labels because we know that the sheker is very much, the sitrach is very much connected to using any labels. But I guess if you would see this person, you would make the mistake that of teaching over here, he's a modern, very modern guy. I'm apologizing for using, I don't like to use labels. But he looks like, again, how does this person define, what does it mean, modern? You know, there's a person who has a cell phone is a modern person also, you understand. But there are different ways that in the Olam that they define modern. So this person fits into all the definitions. The holidays is modern, right? The holidays is modern. So he told me that when the Baba of a Rebbe Skusa Gelin of Al-Koyis Shleiman, that when the Baba of a Rebbe, when he came to America, he came a very broken person, you know, what he lost and what was. He first came to America, he was on the west side, he didn't have a chassidus. His cousin, the Satin Rav, spoke to him very strong, he got chizik from other places, whatever. It's a whole story itself, what happened with the Baba Rebbe. During the Muhammad, there's an amazing book in English, some of you might have read about that, that tzaddik, what he went through, and what he lost. So the Baba Rebbe, he came to America, the boat arrived on Erev Shabbos, in New York. It came in an Erev Shabbos. And this Yid that told me the story said that there were Jews from every neighborhood in New York that were coming to represent different communities that were asking the Baba Rebbe to spend his first Shabbos with them. So there was a contingency from the Lower East Side, and there was a contingency from Crown Heights, and there were some Jews from Williamsburg. And they came from every neighborhood. In those days you had East New York, Bedford, Stuyvesant. There were places, maybe you might not have heard of them, and if you haven't, then you don't have to go visit those places either. Until the Tikkun. So, and Yidden came from all the different neighborhoods. Each one came with the representatives to ask the Rebbe to be Mechabed them with Shabbos. So this Yid told me that there was some people that came from Camp Tarvadas in the mountains. They came from Camp Tarvadas. And this person, they went to the Rebbe and they said, maybe the Rebbe will come to spend Shabbos in the mountains. It was the mountains. It's a few hours away. To go upstate, there's a nice place. So people right away start to yell, how could you dare come to the Rebbe such a thing? It's Erev Shabbos. He just came from off the boat and you have to schlep him. We can go right to the neighborhood here, Lower East Side. Somebody's going to schlep him now upstate. It's a chutzpah. And Rebbe said, what do you have over there? So he said, we have around 130 children. So Bob Rebbe said, what? Count me in. I'm going. 130 children, Kinderlach. I'm going. So Bob Rebbe went there, and this fellow told me, he said he was one of the boys that was in Camp Tarvadas. Camp Sif, I don't know what they called it, but he was in that camp when they came, when the Bob Rebbe came. And he described to me, Beprotius, how it was when the Rebbe came. He said that the cook in the camp was an old Baba Vachas. And he taught them a niggun, one of the Baba Vinagun from the Rebbe had been seen from his father, from the old Rebbe. And he said that this is how they makabal pun. The Rebbe was scheduled when he was coming. It wasn't Erev Shabbos, it was Thursday night, right? He came Thursday night. They came up there Thursday and it was dark already and the car was coming and all the boys from the camp went with torches. And this cook went with a violin, and he was playing the niggun, and the boys were humming. This fellow told me the mice. He says, before the car stopped, it was still going slowly. When the boys came out to the road, before it stopped, the Rebbe opened the door of the car, and he jumped out from the car, and he ran over and he started crying and hugging the boys and started kissing. And he said he stayed up the whole Friday night, he didn't go to sleep, singing with them and talking to these boys. And this chazan told me many of them became chassidim, from the earlier chassidim. He said he didn't, he wasn't, that wasn't, you know, for him to go, but many of them did. But he said that every year Purim, he brought shalach manas. He brought shalach manas to the Baba Rebbe. Every year, that was his thing, he brought shalach manas. And he said every year when he would come, every year, his name was Moshe, I think, every year when he would come, there'd be people packed in. I see them, everybody packed into the room. And every year, if ever look him and say, look up and say, Moshe, Moshe is do. And he would tell everybody, he said, do you see this? Do you see this man, Moshe? When the Rebbe said this. This is what he told me. He said, there was a time in my life that I didn't want to live. The Rebbe said, I didn't want to live. I didn't know how I was going to continue mother my life. And this boy, now he's a man, this person, as a child, with some of his friends, they gave me back my life. And he took, and he brought up the Shulchan Aruch, and he said the Rebbe would hug him. And he's made him sit next to him. Every year, this was his Avodah in Purim. But I tried to imagine what it's going to be like when Mashiach comes. What's it going to be like? We have to be more tzipil or geula this time, tzipisil Yeshua, this time of the year more than any other time. I often think about that picture of the Rebbe coming at someplace, wherever that is, in Ferndale. I don't know what Shtetl is, I don't remember, in the mountains, with the torches burning, and all of Klai Yisrael that held on to Amun, and still spoke to him, and still cared, and we still believed in him. Mizrais Oilam and Habidbar, Mr. Pekas Al Daida, that Mashiach is going to come into the world, is going to jump off of the white Chamor, he's going to come on, whatever that is, he's going to jump off of that. He's going to run over to us and he's going to say, Kindler, you are the ones that kept me awake, that kept my neshama going in Shemayim all of these years. We should be zeichah for that time, of that big hug of the embers and shalom of Leonavi. We should be zeichah for that time. And let's begin to do it now, each and every one of us in our lives, with the boom of tefillah, in a yeshiva, in a besmedrish, this hashgacha practice, while the Baruch Shalom put each and every one of you in this place at this time, with these chaverim, with these rebellion, each and every one, this hashgacha practice, mamish to the tiniest little detail of your life. And that's chus of mizoyis will be oilam and hamidbar from this big midbar that we're in, and bizoych of the tikkun, for the transformation of the kindness into tikkun. At that time, shemesh, and the sun of Mashiach will shine, Yinayin Shemai, with the Gula Hashem, V'amitis M'hem Yemen Amen.